This generation is confused. It has been taught doubt. The frustration reflects the same harassed thinking as Pilate expressed. What is truth? God is canceled and a vacuum engulfs. The vacuum provides declining morals, tumbling standards, and uncertain values. To sow to the wind is to reap whirlwind. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Pedagogues face this curriculum. How to teach the devil and control the devil. A twisted generation is a bigger threat and task than culture is prepared to handle. Society preferring formats, rituals, and intellectual exercises faces a superhuman enemy. Civilization is on a collision course. What possibilities for utter confusion there would be were the road signs and highway directions and signals to be reversed. The classroom and public forum have twisted thinking about the sacredness of life. The drainage pipe has become the exit for the unborn. Who can say what genius, what message, what service for mankind has gone down the drain since legalized abortion has been sanctioned? The mind is twisted by specious arguments. The humanists have no answers for the 16,000 murders in this nation last year, and that 1 in 36 of the population is liable to be assaulted in some criminal way. The devil is rampant, crying out, tearing, foaming, bruising, and one thing is certain, faithlessness doesn't breed respect and success for law and order. The twisting is now a many-degreed profession. Permissiveness is now exhibited as healthy liberation. Divorce is fashionable. 900,000 couples are dividing annually. A typical female pattern is this. When I went to the psychiatrist, I began to break out of the old things. My husband was one of the old things I broke out of. I started dating and I felt young again. I got a divorce because I felt it was the only way I could expand and grow as a human being. The traffic in bodies has reached the epidemic stage. New expectations have been scheduled. Textbooks drool with them. They are enervated by stage and screen. An insanity is fostered to achieve romantic love of the gods. Sexual pleasures imposed by bestsellers. Intellectual companionship of the research laboratory. The message of the hour is this. You can only go around once in life, so grab all the gusto you can. Yes, there is concern. Explain it as health, cultural, adolescent. I've heard the arguments. I ask, what do you substitute for commitment, responsibility, and sacrifice? How do you support the thinking that a wife's own survival is more important than the well-being of her husband and children, that the all-important goal is to break out of the old things, and that husband is one of the old things? I'll tell you this, doctor. The twisted rationale looks better on the glossy pages of some magazine than it does on the streets of this nation. A generation may still promise until death do us part, but what is really meant in rising percentages is until it does not feel good anymore. Merchandising with astronomical profits have made sex appear to be an endless and fantastical smorgasbord. Minds are titillated and morally unhinged by authors catering to the unredeemed ego and the twisted whimper. I must find my identity. I must no longer be a slave and a legal prostitute. I must find my independence. You can almost hear Paul conclude, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Too often the psychologist becomes the priest. preaching a gospel of salvation through personal gratification and sanctioning almost any action needed to reach that state of grace that says, you are a beautiful, unique human being, fully worthy, with potential beyond your wildest imagination. Moreover, you've got to get yourself into the driver's seat. You are responsible for yourself. If you are hurting, fix it. Take action. No one will do it for you. This generation has been teased and taunted to crawl far, far out on the limb. Now there are tangles everywhere. The difference between legitimate and illegitimate in birth has been erased. The value of chastity has been deplored. An honest day's work is questioned. Raise eyebrows are the fashionable gesture. When words like respectable and responsible are used toward such virtues, one gospel reporter states Jesus to have used the word crooked. A crooked and perverse generation. It's a generation that has been bent out of shape. It's not only the theology people want to abandon, it is the ethics as well. And who can trust the economics? Does anyone know where they may lead? Will inflation finally destroy all savings, pensions, personal property? What godless theoreticians have started the world on this cruise? Blown about by every wind of doctrine seems to be an apt description of today's fiscal policies. Who can rebuke the unclean spirit? Greed is unclean, Mr. Embezzlement is unclean, bribes and favor treatment at the expense of the taxpayer are unclean. You numb at the presence and the exploitation of this foul and insidious prevalence. The same spirit of license leaves the dead on our highways. Potential killers with driver's licenses transgress our interstates, leaving the dead and the mangled, and drug and drink twist these minds. Something is debasing mankind, sir. The devil threw him down. I can see that every day. Something is tearing homes apart, college campuses apart, government apart. The ravage is frightening. And the twist has been accelerated by the uncertain sound from the pulpit. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? The Bible must be the authority, or you must substitute authority. What must be the trial and punishment of such traitors who negotiate their allegiance? They take their sustenance from his church, and at the same time deny his word. These are the blind leaders of the blind, multiplying the confusion. The hunger is for credibility. So much of the entertainment world adds its mockery. Profanity, vulgarity, contempt are all protected under the guise of freedom, art, progress, liberty. It begins with a child in the grade school. One magazine reports a lesson to read, and I quote, "A tiger is a fearsome beast. But if it is only a paper tiger, there's no need to be afraid of it. And parents are only paper tigers, the same as all adults who try to make you obey them. Just rebel." Unquote. The word filth gets into the Old Testament text, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. It's a terrible indictment to be brought to trial for the sale and the display and the persuasion of unmitigated lewdness. Mental and spiritual poison are introduced. Marrying, and note, giving in marriage has become a style of living. The swinger is a growing symptom. It's a morally toxic condition. Without faith leads to impossible quagmires, morass, stalemate. O faithless generation, Jesus said. The repudiation grows. Faith is required in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. I must have a standard. I must be able to measure and weigh. I cannot make school a general and prolonged recess. There is a place for the playground, but only as it leads to classes. So it takes intercession to deal with twisted minds and souls who pronounce white black and black white. A deformed generation, twisted, is a dividend of our century of wars. Physically, youngsters are reaching toward basketball heights and salaries, but in those bigger chasses, there are smaller assurances of what constitutes the permanent and what constitutes the passing. There's the frightening prospect that while the last war was fought in the skies, the next war will be fought from the skies. The Soviet has now the suborbital bomb. This can be placed in space and directed and detonated at will. Dr. R.E.D. Clark of Cambridge has introduced another fear. He affirms the menace of asteroids. He states that now it is possible to use these asteroids and to harness them and deflect their orbit and send them crashing down toward any predetermined target on Earth. And the possibility is frightening. Our Savior talked about the sun and the moon being darkened and the stars falling from heaven. Such is the scene. This generation, above all things, needs a sense of direction. So the question Luke reports is the question I must consider with you. Jesus asked, "How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you?" I fear the countdown. The moment is hurtling toward the planet when the presence of Jesus, now manifest through the Holy Spirit, will be withdrawn. And then a twisted generation will lie helpless in the clutches of Antichrist. His deception will draw a net of eternal tragedy for them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Jesus asks, "How long shall I suffer you?" How much longer will he permit the permissiveness of mankind? I'll tell you this, sir, no one else can handle the devil that this hour has aroused. And if you find yourself twisted, lost, unanchored in this labyrinth of doubt, why don't you cry out, "Master, I beseech thee"? There's an answer that will settle every doubt. Now the time you've been waiting for is here, the altar time, at the long, long altar, and you're a welcome guest. We wouldn't want to pray without you, so kneel with us in these next 10 seconds.
There's room at the cross for you.
Del Cini is at this altar with us. Kneeling at that section that passes through Belize City, Honduras, Central America. And Del Cini says, "Brother Ward, I knelt with you down here in the Caribbean about my husband. He could not use his right hand. The doctor said he would be an invalid for life. The nerves had been severed. And then I felt God's power at the broadcast altar, and that hand is working fine. He can use it to dress himself. God's mercy has convinced my husband that he should serve Jesus. 3 doctors in this city testify that only God is the reason my husband is alive. And I'm so thankful for that long, long altar that reaches into this part of the world." Yes, Del Cini, thousands and thousands of us are kneeling with you. And the same God has done something for each of us. So let's pray. Let's talk to Jesus. Wonderful Christ, thousands of us love thee. We find fulfillment in serving thee. We believe you are the answer, the only answer. We seek thy blessing at the long, long altar. Mark us by thy nail-pierced hands in body, our businesses, in our marriages, in our minds. We want everybody to know that we are Christians and radiate through us the mercies, goodwill, patience, and every fruit and grace of the Holy Spirit, and make people better people because we have passed their way. Amen. I know all of you are praying with me, and I love you for it. Now let's get down to the personal business that the Holy Spirit superintends at these meetings. I know what he wants to do. I discern it. There's a couple trying to decide what to do about a parent who has been left alone because of the death of that parent's partner. Husband, it is your wife's parent. You're afraid to take that parent into your home. Have no fear. That parent will be a blessing and not an obstacle. And you will please God. And you will have God's favor by inviting that parent into your home. Your act of obedience to this special altar message is to you required. God bless you, and I thank you for responding so quickly. Well, it's time to tell the new folk that you've been to the meeting. We gather like this, all colors, all nationalities, all sizes, and sing, testify, and pray, and let God have his way. There are no robes, no echelons of authority, no joining, no arguments about religion. We tell everybody at the meeting that it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And now, if you like what you have felt, you spread.